Do you have a good Thanksgiving? You know, is your Thanksgiving, we talked about this a number of months probably now ago. Time goes by so fast. But we have traditions in our lives. And most of you probably engaged in some form of tradition over the Thanksgiving weekend. Turkey is obviously one of the traditional foods that people don on their Thanksgiving Day table. And we talked, remember, Danelle was the one, that's what strikes in my mind, her favorite was the cranberry sauce from a can, you know. delicious. Happy Thanksgiving to you too. But we have these traditions that we engage in. And some of them, they go back so far, we kind of lose touch a little bit as to where did this come from? Where did this even get started? And many of the ones that we have, we don't necessarily know, but some of the ones in your family, perhaps you still have a memory of. But that season of traditions continues. One of the interesting things, this was kind of fitting, but it's more of an aside. This was a few years ago. Black Friday, right? I'm not going to ask you if you do Black Friday shopping because some of you are probably proud of it and some of you are deathly afraid of it, but it doesn't make any difference. Black Friday, my family, we're going to do some Black Friday shopping. When I say my family, I'm really not included. If we leave town, I'm the driver is really what it boils down to. Anyhow, Erica, she would have been pretty young at the time, and we told her that what we were going to do after Thanksgiving is Black Friday. So she made sure we were up at my parents' place. We're going to head to Fargo, I think, there because it's less busy in Fargo and everything's way calmer in North Dakota. I know that's a pro comment for North Dakota, isn't it now? Normally I ridicule North Dakota. I love North Dakota. It gets away from everything else. What in the world? Anyway, so Erica at this point, we didn't realize this at the time. She's getting ready for Black Friday. So when Black Friday came, she comes out, she comes down totally dressed head to toe in black. She thought that there was some significance to this, you wear black on Black Friday. And she's probably all of six at the time. And so it was funny to see how ignorant she was. But we have these traditions. Now that we step it from Thanksgiving and we step towards Christmas, traditions are there and they change. Well, this last week, I guess it was a few weeks ago, but I finished it up recently. We have a tradition of hanging Christmas lights in the house. I've talked about this before. I hate it. I absolutely loathe it. And I've learned to be selective on the days that I hang the Christmas lights. We hang icicle Christmas lights, which are even the worst. Because if you try to untangle icicle lights, because they have these individual strands that hang down from the main strand, and they just can't constantly getting tangled up. Well, I had an idea last year, so when I take them down, I try to strategize how I'm going to make the best use of it for the next year. And so I had this fishing rod that had come, and so I took this long cylinder that the fishing rod had come in, and I cut it into three sections because I have three sections of strands. And so I thought, well, I'm going to wind up the Christmas lights on the cylinder, so then I can just unwind it, it'll be easier. It seemed like a good idea. It didn't work because now as I'm untangling or unwinding it, they're still getting all tangled. I try to prepare myself emotionally and mentally as I do this to not get angry. And so I'm trying to stay calm. And so some of the ways that I've done to help that is I choose a 52-degree day or so, which is what it was this year. So it's mild. I can go up there on the roof wearing shorts and tennis shoes and be just fine. And so I'm up on the roof taking care of these Christmas lights. I get them all, the first strand, I get it all strung out. I run the cord up. I'm actually fairly pleasant at this time. You have a few, and these warmer days are better, but you have these little plastic clips, and I keep them on the strands. So I'm putting them in on the gutters one at a time, very carefully, because over the years, they get brittle. And when the more that break, the more angry you become, because you're limited. Otherwise, I have to go buy another box of them. I don't want to do that. I want to get by with what I have. And so I finish the first strand of lights, which is two consecutive strands, and I plug it in. And I would say, out of those two strands, I've got probably a 3-foot section of lights that work. Are these lights disposable? I mean, is that what's going on nowadays? Is this like you use them for a year and that was rough. It's like, well, let me get the rest of the lights on. And then when I'm done with that, then we'll see where we're at, what I have to do. So I put on the longest one. They're over the garage. And those actually were decent. Oh, this is good. This is all right. I go to do the final strand of lights, and the same thing. I've got probably about 5 feet off of what would have been a 30-foot section that are working. I dropped the lights where they were, and I went down off the roof, and I left. And then the snow came. And then the ice came. And so all my lights are buried under the snow and ice. All of this for tradition. Why am I doing this? I hate it. It looks nice when it's done, but I don't like it. My kids do. And when they were young, especially they do. Now somehow I've earned this repetitive, I have to do this every year so that the kids and Sarah are happy. And I'm not happy. And so I get stirred. And, you know, there's this idea where there's emotions that kind of raise up. I went and I replaced the bad strands. I put them up. Unfortunately, the second day, it was like a 30-degree day. I slipped on the ice at one time on the roof and caught myself. I didn't fall. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here today. But with the lengths that we go, the lights are done, and they look great. And I feel glad that they're done. I feel glad almost that they're up. But we lay out these ideas of these traditions and the fact that we get stirred. And so I'm stirred as I'm trying to put the lights up. And I'm stirred at the fact that those lights are up. And it reminds me of years past, of when we first had young kids who loved the fact the lights and how they would react to those lights. But as I'm putting them up, I can't help but wonder, where's my joy with this? You know, with the traditions that we have, what is it that's stirring in me? Is it agitation? Is it obligation? Or where's the joy? You know, we're working through this book, or we will be working through this book, and I'll talk a little bit more about it later, but the idea of where is your joy? And we do have a couple more copies on this. If you still don't have one and you would like one, again, we'll touch on that maybe a little bit later. But that's got to be this question that comes into me as we look at Christmas. Some people love Christmas. We love the traditions. We love the smells. Other people really can't stand it. And they get agitated with it. But wherever you're at on it, we have to ask ourselves the question, where's the joy in this? It's supposed to be a joyful season. We've already sung about it. We're going to sing about it again some more. But there's a reality to it that we're actually called to have joy, not only just at Christmas, but at all times. Some of these interesting traditions that we have. Do you have a real tree or a fake tree? Raise your hand if you're a fake tree person. If you're afraid, don't be afraid. Okay? I'm so proud of you for taking the bold step. Because what you find is fake tree people, usually they get pressure from real tree people. They're looked down on. Real tree people kind of look down. It's like, oh, you do a fake tree, huh? So sorry. We're a real tree person, okay? Our family happens to be a real tree family. I grew up with a real tree. Sarah grew up with the real tree. And both of our parents are now fake tree people, okay? So, but we're still authentic. We're real tree people. But I remember walking through the tree farm with my dad. My mom wasn't with us. She apparently was smart enough to not come with. But I was walking through this with my dad, my brother, and myself for sure. If I had younger siblings, they didn't matter, so I didn't know if they were there or not. But as we're walking through, we see a tree. We park right next to this tree. Oh, that one looks good. Well, let's check it. My dad says, well, let's check out and see what else there is for us. So we walk, and there was snow. And I'm a young kid, so at least up to my knees at this point. We're trudging through the snow. And we find another one way back in there deep. Dad cuts it down. We drag it back to the truck, and he looks at the one that he first saw. That one looks better. So he cut that one down and plopped the old tree into that one, and we hauled away on the other one. So once the snow melts, it's just going to fall over and be a dead tree. But we have these traditions. I remember when my parents first got their fake tree, we were in college because they had no one to go and help them with the tree and such anymore. We were in college, and so when we came back, my mom thought it was funny, and she would say, whoa, hey, Ryan, why don't you go help water the tree? That would really help your mom out. And so we go and get the pitcher of water, and we go underneath the tree, and we start to pour the water into the fake tree, and she thought it was the funniest thing. What's wrong with you? We just poured water all over the living room carpet. But the traditions that we have and that we hold to, sometimes they're very difficult to let go. They're very difficult to transition away from. What happens with many of these traditions is we lose sight of the significance of the actual tradition. And in many cases, we lose sight of not only what is it that's right in front of us, but we also then delight in engaging in new experiences that we can miss out on. Often the Christmas story, as we look at it, and as we begin Advent, and we know it's Christmas, we set up the decorations, we do all the stuff, we have our nativity set out, and we know the real meaning of the story, but yet, as we look at the Christmas story itself, it's so filled with fun and unique and meaningful traditions, good traditions, that perhaps we still miss the significance and importance of what Christmas really is. Christmas is the dawn. It is that new morning
that brought the absolute indestructible joy. You know, the books that we have available. And again, we're not really teaching out of the books, but we're kind of following the theme, the idea of the book. And so I do have two extra copies. That's all I have. If you want one of those, a suggested donation is only $4. If you want one, again, that's just a suggestion on that. Come see me afterwards, first come, first serve. Don't hurt each other on the way out, all right? But it's something that, with you and your family, the goal of it is to look at, okay, as we engage in Christmas, what's going to help us to keep our mind and our hearts focused on what Christ has for us? And so as a springboard, as a starter, this is a passage that we find here in 2 Peter chapter 3. It may seem like this doesn't relate at all, but look at what Peter's saying. So he's writing to the church, and this is his second letter to the church. He's going to say that, but he's writing for a specific purpose, not Christmas, but Christ. He wants us to understand something. So let's look at what Peter writes here in 2 Peter chapter 3. He says, "Beloved, this is now the second letter that I'm writing to you, in which I am," look at these words here, "stirring up your sincere mind by way of a reminder." In other words, he's saying, I don't want you to forget who Jesus is. I don't want you to forget what Jesus did. I don't want you to forget the gospel. I don't want you to become numb to it. And that's why he says, I want this to stir you. This gospel message should stir us every time we hear what Jesus did for us. We should never become numb to what this gospel says, what this gospel is, what Jesus Christ did for us. And so as we approach Christmas and we look at it, yeah, we have wonderful traditions. I'm not diminishing those. But if we get numb to this truth of who Jesus is, oh Lord, help us that we don't lose the joy that was promised. We're going to look more at this. So Peter says, I want you to remember the words that were spoken beforehand. Understand this, okay? By the holy prophets. All of those in the past were speaking of this moment that you were here to engage in, that you were here to hear the message for. This is incredible. Don't think that this isn't significant. And this was Peter's words to those people. All those words that were spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles. Don't forget what has been said. Don't forget what God is doing and has done. Know this, first of all, that in the last days, mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lust, saying, where is this promise coming? So in other words, no, don't forget Jesus came. Don't forget that he's also coming again. And there's people there challenging the church and saying, where is he? He's gone. I don't see him coming back. And Peter's saying, don't forget. Don't forget who Jesus is. Don't forget what he said. Let it stir you. Remember it. Forever, since the fathers fell asleep, this is what the mockers are saying, all things continue just as they were from the beginning. In other words, nothing seems to be changing. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago. In other words, all of this, you forget the fact that God did all of this. He orchestrated out of nothing. He created these things. So don't diminish that. Let it stir you. Let the truth of God and what he said and what he did stir you. The word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed by being flooded with water. But by his word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire. In other words, it's coming. All that you have, it's going to be destroyed. I know, it's like, wait, I thought we were talking about Christmas. I understand that. There's an anticipation for Jesus' coming, and we still have this Advent, this anticipation that he's coming again. That's why we went through Revelation. Let it stir you. Be stirred with who Jesus is. Be stirred with the fact that he came. Be stirred with the fact that he promises he's coming again and anticipate it. Kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly people. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not willing for any to perish. Thank God for his patience with me. Oh, where would I be if he didn't have patience for me? Not willing for any of you to perish, but for all to come to repentance. If you have not yet begun a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Lord is patient. But there will come a day, there will come a set of day ahead. It's already set. God knows what that day is. We don't, but he does. We'll talk more about that with what Paul says in Galatians 4 here in a little bit. Don't miss your chance. But the day of the Lord will come. This anticipated day, the set time, it will come. And it will come like a thief. You don't know when it's going to happen, but it will. In which the heavens will pass away with the roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be discovered. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth. I understand that you know them, but are you stirred by them? I understand that you know them, but are you remembering who Jesus really is? I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. And this is how he started. I am writing to you in which I am stirring up your sincere mind by the way of a reminder. In other words, be stirred by what we're going to hear today. Be stirred with the fact that Jesus Christ came at Christmas. Be stirred as you enter into your traditions. Don't forget who Jesus is, but be stirred by who he is and what it is that he has done. As we look at some of your Christmas memories, you look back, maybe when your kids were young, maybe when you yourself were young. I have all kinds of memories as I was growing up, surrounded by Christmas. Most of them are fond. Now, I realize not everyone has that, but we have a stirring with that. I remember at one point my mom sitting in a dark living room. I don't know what was on her mind. I don't know what was on her heart, but it was low lit. The Christmas lights were on. I remember very distinctly sitting in an old green, tattered and torn Lazy Boy recliner that if you pounded it, I know this as a kid, if you pounded it, dust would fly up from it, you know. Look, the chair is smoking. But I remember her, and she was sitting there and she was listening to Christmas music. And maybe this is one of those moments in my mind that's just etched there, that why I like Christmas music. I'm like with Chris, though. Okay, before Thanksgiving is not okay with me. You know, the girls were like, let's bake and let's play Christmas music. Let's not. After Thanksgiving, it changes. But anyway, I have an affinity for Christmas music. And specifically, she was listening to Kenny Rogers. Christmas time, like 1981, whatever, maybe 84. And Amy Grant's Tennessee Christmas, remember that? Old, they were in cassette. That's where you had, and so if you wanted to replay a song, you'd have to rewind it. And then you'd play it again. And if you had really a favorite song, it'd get worn out on the tape. Okay. But I remember those moments with affection. I remember one year my sister, she decided that she wanted to see what she had for Christmas. Oh, I know, right? And so she began to open the packages carefully and try to peek. My parents, ahead of time, before this, they would code things. There was no names on the packages. They would write a code, you know, and so it was a fairly elaborate code. And so my sister actually cracked the code. So somehow, by discovering who was for what, she figured out which ones were hers, and then she opened up all of hers to see what she was getting. Well, my dad, he was angry with that. So as a response, and I remember sitting there, I loved it because I'm an older brother. So I'm like, sister's getting punished. But I remember the stirring that I had at that moment, feeling like this relishing, but then it changed because what my dad had her do is he gave the gifts that she had opened. This is before Christmas, made her sit there and open them and then take the opened gift, hand it to her mother, which would then be returned to the store. I know. And so she opened up this telephone. She was so excited for this telephone, and she had to give it back. And she opened up a Paula Abdul CD, and she had to give it back. I'm telling you, my dad is a cold-hearted snake. Only a few of you got that one, right? Okay. But gift after gift, she had to give it back. And I remember sitting there, and my feeling of, all right, stick it to her, went to sadness as I watched my mom crying over this. Like, but these emotions, they stick with you. And that's what I want us to be at a point as we engage in Christmas. I want this reality of Jesus Christ coming. I want it to stick with us. I'm not saying we have to have all the kind of warm fuzzies, but I want us to experience this reality that Jesus really came, and it should affect us. We should be stirred by it. Luke 2,
Look at how the angels came. Look at the message that they're bringing, and tell me that these shepherds weren't stirred by this experience. But the angels said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy. Are you experiencing great joy? Are you remembering who Jesus is and what he did? And are you allowing that to be something that is this dawning of indestructible joy within you? You can't make it happen on your own. Jesus said he's going to do that for us. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. On that day, I remember when Sarah was pregnant with our firstborn. There was a day. It was a due date. And leading up to that due day, when we knew the anticipated day of that arrival, we had a lot of stuff to do ahead of time. We prepared a nursery. We didn't know if it was a boy or a girl. And so we painted it yellow, because that's gender neutral. We painted it yellow, and we had a white crib. And then I had made a changing table. I had actually gone down to Pottery Barn, and Sarah had one there that she liked. And so I took and I measured it all up. And then I made an exact copy. Is that legal? Sorry. I made an exact copy, and I painted it white. And so I had done that in my dad's shop. I didn't have all the tools at that point yet. And so I made that, and we set that in there. We had pictures on the wall of bugs. There was a ladybug, and there was a dragonfly, and there was a bee, and there was a fourth one that I don't... But I remember. I remember what it was. I just don't remember exactly right now. But do you understand? So we put in all of this effort and all of this work for 9 months of preparing. And then there came the day. And I remember, I mean, I could tell you where everything was in that room as that first child was born. I remember holding her, and the first moment my eyes were open and her eyes were open, and we made eye contact. I mean, it's just like, that seems weird. You know, there's just this life that wasn't. The day happened. It came. I can't pretend that it didn't happen. I can't pretend that it didn't came. You know, so all this preparation, this lead up, that's what Peter's kind of dealing with, this idea. All of those prophets talked about it. And then there came this day when it actually took place. And I'm holding that child for the first time. And I'm stirred by it. Even now, as I remember, I am stirred by it. I think that's the point of what Peter's hitting at. When we look at the message of Christmas, when we look at the message of Jesus Christ, we ought to be stirred by it. And so that's what gets us into what Paul has here. Now look at this. Paul says in Galatians chapter 4, and we're going to be going through Galatians here in this next spring, so we'll get into it a little bit deeper. But look at this picture. He says, think of it this way. If a father dies and leaves an inheritance for his young children, those children are not much better off than slaves until they grow up, even though they actually own everything their father had. So here's the picture. As a father having young kids, the father dies. They still belong to him, right? They still are the heirs. But as their young kids, they still have to obey. We're going to see the language here. They still have to obey whoever the authority is over them. In other words, there's this day of anticipation when they come of age where everything's going to change. They have to obey their guardians until they reach whatever age their father has set. And that's the way it was with us. So here we are before Christmas. Everyone's there as basically a bunch of young people who have not come into the inheritance yet. They're not old enough. Do you see what Paul's getting at? Before Christ came, we were like children. We were slaves to the basic spiritual principles of this world. But the day came when the right time came. Well, in other words, when the birth of Christ came, it was like us hitting our 18th birthday, where we become adults, where we get the inheritance. Are you tracking with that what Paul's getting at here? Because this is a significant point. It's really struck me anew this week. But when the right time came, when my daughter was born, it was at that moment that my life was different. at the same thing, at just the right time. All of this parallel between like the 9 months of anticipating a new child and all of these years leading up to the birth of Christ, God knew exactly what he was doing. And at exactly the right time when we would come into the inheritance, he said, now is the day. There was a day that it took place and we get to receive it. But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law. In other words, that's our freedom day, so that he could adopt us. Now, that's what we're looking at. This is a wonderful picture. Adoption, and I've talked about this before, it's fabulous. Consider this. You have a child who doesn't belong. You know what I mean? And I'm trying to say this. Understand the picture. You have this child who has no home, and then you have basically this person who comes in and says, I will take them to be my heir. I will take them to be my own. And that's the significant point of what Jesus is getting at, what Paul's getting about Christ. When he came, I'll take you as my son. I'll take you as my daughter. Christmas is like an adoption day when everything is finalized. The difference that we look at here is when we look at Jesus and what he's offering us adoption. For some of us, we say, I'm not interested. I don't want to be adopted. For others, maybe we've said, yeah, I want to be adopted, and then we lose sight of the beautiful significance of it. God sent Jesus to buy that freedom, in other words, to give us that full inheritance. We're slaves of the law so that he could adopt us into his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. That's the intimate term. Oh, Dad. You don't get that in other ways of Scripture sometimes, but this is the language that says, call out to, you're now my biological, in a way, you're my literal father. You are the one who has bought me. I belong to you. I am now your heir. Now, we're no longer a slave, but God's own children. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. That is the day of Christmas. And so as we look forward and as we anticipate what Jesus has for us, where are you at in that? You know, you look at this picture of adoption. Have you said yes? Jesus is saying, I want to adopt you. We have the unique opportunity to say, yeah, I'm in. I want that. Have you said yes to that? Or are you saying, I think I just want to kind of go out on my own yet? Christmas is so much more than a bunch of traditions, and I like them. But if we miss the significance that came on that day just as God wanted at his perfect timing, then we're missing the joy that's being set for us for Christmas. If you're struggling with joy, I would ask you to invite the Lord to show you the joy of the significance of that day.